Okay, let's continue with the Rambam Hilchos Me'ila Perek Beis Halacha Ches, Chapter 2, Law 8. Regular scheduled programming tomorrow. Nothing changes.
So there is a Parsha class.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
You asked me, did I have one today?
Right.
Okay, we're talking about the various when Me'ila begins on Korbanos and when does it stop. So we discussed a few of the regular Korbanos. Again, to the rest of the chapter is discussing different types of items, when the Me'ila begins and when does it stop. So let's go to the showbreads, Halacha Ches. Lechem Apanim, the 12 loaves of bread that are arranged on every Shabbos on the golden table. At what point does Me'ila begin? Thievery, appropriation from the temple begin? Molim bo misha huktash, when the flour is consecrated. For the lechem aponim, at that point, if you're going to use any of that, you're going to be moel it. Afal pisha dain lo nefa, even though it has been baked, doesn't matter. Once you've appropriated this amount of flour, this is for lechem aponim. Now, if someone takes on their own, they're sin. When does it go off? Remember, things that belong to the temple has to be a point when they no longer belong to the temple. Now, what's going to happen with those 12 showbreads? What's going to happen to them ultimately?
Leave them there for the week.
And then what's going to happen?
Go and eat them.
You're going to eat them.
Who's going to eat them? The Kohanim are going to eat them.
They're still fresh.
So now, at what point are the Kohanim allowed to eat it? Ad sheyater habezichon, when those two spoonfuls of frankincense that have been sitting on the table for a week, when they're taken off and they're burnt on the Mizbech, at that point, the breads are permitted to Kohanim, and therefore even an Israelite partakes of it, notwithstanding any thievery he may do and other things that are wrong, but he will not transgress stealing from
Hegdish. So a spoonful of frankincense, the Mila can go down the...
That's right.
The most delightful way.
Exactly. Hikter HaBezichin, once those frankincense spoonfuls have been burnt, Hutter Bachila, they're permitted for the Kohanim to eat it, and therefore all Me'ila components have been removed. Similarly, on Shavuos, when you bring the sheep and they are accompanied with two breads, so what about those two breads? When do they begin and end the Me'ila? V'chein shtei halechem, molim behem, when do you transgress misappropriating? Mishohukdash kodem shafu, again, when the flour has been consecrated, before it's been baked, and when has it become permitted to be eaten by Kohanim? Hachizorek dama kvasim. Only after the blood of the sheep has been sprinkled, then it's usher. Until that point, nizrek dama kvasim, once the blood has been sprinkled for the sheep, huter bachil is permitted for the Kohanim to eat it, and all me'ila has been removed.
Who consecrates the flour?
A consecrator. I don't know. Whoever, the guy in charge of baking the breads, he takes
some
flour.
Makes a broth or something?
No, he just consecrates. This flour now is for this korban.
Does that, it becomes me'ilas after he consecrates the flour?
It can't be before.
No, but you said before that the...
There's flour sitting somewhere, and the Kohen is saying, this flour now is consecrated for the purpose of making the following...
The breads.
So if you eat that flour, it's me'ilas.
That's
right. But why, if the frankincense isn't put on, is it not me'ilas?
It is.
Oh, it is.
It's me'ila until the me'ila goes off. The me'ila goes off when something is permitting this bread to be eaten. So when we're talking about lechem aponim, it's when the frankincense is removed. Yes. We're talking about the two breads on Shavuos, it's when the blood is sprinkled. There's the time when it begins Me'ila, as the time the Me'ila stops.
Right, so, but that's the end. The frankincense going on the bread is the end of Me'ila.
No, when the frankincense are burnt on the Mizbeach, then it's permitted. Now, how about water? There is water that's needed for libations, specifically Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos. So Maim Sheminaschem Bechag HaSukkos, that water, if you could misappropriate that and be moiled by drinking water.
Somebody got thirsty.
Now, very interesting. There's two situations we have to understand with this water. When it's the first night of Chol HaMoed is when we begin the Simchas Beis HaShoeva every night of the week.
Yep.
Now, let's assume that that night is a weekday night. It's not Yontif is one day, it's over. It's a weekday night. So what they would do is, they would draw water from the Mei Shiloach at night, and now once it would be in a special ministering vessel, at that point when the water goes into the ministering vessel, at that point it's designated for Hekdesh, and now you could be Moel. However, Rama's not going to start with that. Ooh. He's going to start if, let's say, that first night is Shabbos. Now, if you have Shabbos, what you have to do is you got to draw the water the day before. But you can't draw it in a ministering vessel. No. Why can't you do that? Because when you leave anything in a ministering vessel overnight, it automatically becomes puzzle. So they take another vessel that's not a ministering vessel, and they put the water in that non-ministering vessel, because you can't be drawing it on Shabbos.
Right.
So now, when it becomes now that night of that you could now want to do the water drawing, what you do is you pour it from the first vessel, now you pour it into a ministering
vessel. On Shabbos
or after? No, this is after Shabbos.
Shabbos is over.
This is, it's a ministering vessel.
What's on Shabbos? What's
on Shabbos? It's to avoid, you can't draw it on Shabbos. We're talking with the Shabbos issues, and we can't, and because of Shabbos issues, we can't do any of that stuff on Shabbos. So therefore, if it was Shabbos, if the first day, if you have a day of Shabbos and you want to do the watering on Shabbos, you have to draw the water on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos will be the water drawing day. So Shabbos, a water drawing day, I have to get the water out Erev Shabbos.
So you pour it from this vessel into the ministering vessel on Shabbos.
Then on Shabbos, I can pour from one vessel to another. So obviously, if it's in the first vessel, it's not, you're not moel, because it's not a ministering vessel. Only when it gets into the ministering vessel, that's the point that Rambam was going to say.
Okay.
So moel and ba misha hooks. So first, so I jumped the gun a little bit. I started the nesachim before the water. I skipped.
So it's not the action of drawing; it's the action of placing in the vessel.
Correct. So first let's go back to other things, like other nesachim, let's say wine libations or things like that. Nesachim, ma'alim b'hem mishahiktushu, when you sanctify, say this wine is going to be a wine libation for this korban. When does it end? When it's yordu lashisin, when you pour it down the mizbeach, and it now goes into a tunnel under the mizbeach, once it goes there, ein ma'alim, that's it, its service is over, it's under the tunnel, and finished. That's regular libations. Mayim, the water libations, Shemenasim Chagas Sukkos, that you libate on Sukkos, Kozman Shem Bakat, as long as they're in the first vessel that used on Shabbos, that's not a ministering vessel, Shosov, it's made out of gold, so the water has not been consecrated yet, you're not allowed to benefit from it, because it has been designated, but the person who benefits doesn't transgress because it hasn't actually been sanctified. Now, what if you now move it from there? Now you put it in the consecrated vessel. Then moalim bekulam, you're moal with all of it. What's the Rambam adding with the word all of it? The answer is there's supposed to be a certain amount. You're supposed to have 3 log of water in that vessel. Now, what if, for whatever reason, you put a little more than 3 log into it, say 3.5 log, it's still kosher, it's very fine, and you got 3.5 log to pour. But how much of it, if you drink, will you be mal? So you'd be mal for any of that 3.5. Even though you got, let's say, 0.5 log extra, you say, well, why should that be holy? I don't need it.
No.
Anything that's in that vessel, you can be mal, shereheim, bechalal, and something that's all included in that libation. Okay, now we... Yeah?
Didn't we say if you have a sheep and you say, this is Hekdesh, immediately there would be Me'il on it? Like, you've
it depends. If it's for a korban, no, not for Kachin Berakabais. Right? We're talking about the Kachin that's going to be given as a korban. Right?
It's not for Berakabais.
We
only for Berakabais, then it would be, right away.
What was the question?
We're talking... Me'ila is Kachin Kachakalim.
Right.
These things, not Kachabeta Kabayas.
Right, that's it.
It's got to be a Korban. I take the sheep, it is for a Korban Chattas. Boom, Korban Chattas. Now you can be mulled with Korban Chattas. Okay? There's other rabbinic issues We say rabbinically, you can't shear an animal that's for bedekabayis, but from the Torah, it's not prohibited. Okay, now, let's talk about oil. Where does oil fit into things? Well, we're going to specifically talk about one oil, and that's the oil that's used in the final purification of the Metzorah, where some of that oil is put on his thumbs, big thumb, big toe, and things like that. So at what point does the oil become liable for me'ilah, and when does it go off? Log shemen shel metzorah, the log of shemen that has to be put on the metzorah. Mo'al and bo, when are you coming? Well, mishel hukdish b'kli, when it's been sanctified by being put in a ministering vessel. Achi yizark, and I have to do a few steps now, because the oil is the last step. Achi yizark dama ashem, first you have to bring the korban ashem, you have to sprinkle the blood of the korban ashem. It's aser. Now, once it's sprinkled, technically, the me'ilah has fallen off of the oil, because kapara has happened. But nizrek dama asham, once you sprinkle the blood of the asham, lo nehenim, you can't
benefit
from it. But for lo malim, but you won't be mal either. Ad sheyitnu mimenu matnosav, until the body parts are put on, until the oil is put on the body parts. Okay? And then So once it's sprinkled, you're not going to be Nehenna. You're not going to be Moil, but you still shouldn't be doing anything with it until it's used on the body parts. Therefore, you can't be Moil anymore, but you shouldn't be benefiting.
So after they spritz the
but
blood.
But Nosaman Matonis, now that you put the little sprinkles on the body parts, then the leftover oil, Hutra Shoyim Bachila, you can now even eat the oil.
Ooh.
Why? Kibzar Chatas Hashem, just like the meat of a Chatas or an Hashem. Because now it's everything's been done. But the main thing is, once the blood's been sprinkled, it doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash anymore. Still needs some more kapara, but doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, how about blood? Marmon doesn't going to tell you, but there's various psukim. We learn from various psukim that you're not going to be moil on blood. This is specifically talking about the blood, when you shech the korban, and blood comes gushing out of that korban, and you shechted it, and you use it for sprinkling and things like that. Well, what if you take a drink of the blood?
Please.
Notwithstanding the averis of drinking blood, but it is stolen from Hashem. That's the only thing you're worried about. Called mei shechitas hakadshim, any blood that is a result of slaughtering kadshim, ein moal and bo, you're not moal. The Gemara learns it from Sukkim. Bein lifnei kapara, it doesn't matter if this rikas adam has happened, bein la'achar kapara, before or after. Now, this is very interesting now, something a little counterintuitive. You figure, well, if you're not mol, you're never going to be mol.
No.
Not so. Listen to this. Kidron, till it goes into the Kidron valley, that river over there. Remember, it's a very small nachal, not far from the base of Mingish. All the blood that's spilled in the Azorah or sprinkled, all stuff, it's got to be washed out somewhere. Mm-hmm. So there's holes at the bottom, and it finally washes out into the Kidron River Valley over there. Very interesting. At that point in time, even though you're not moil the whole time,
now you are.
Now Yotzel and Nachal Kidron, now if it goes to Nachal Kidron, Moalim bo, you will now be chayav for misappropriation, but only rabbinically, not biblically, and you'll see why. That was very, very prestigious blood, because that blood mixes in with the water, and they're going to use it to fertilize. They would best, the Beis HaMikdash would sell it, and get good money for good fertilizer. Blood, water, silt, fertilizer was probably very good. So they didn't want people taking that. Beis HaMikdash would lose money. So they, for rabbinically, laid on this mi'ila issue. Because it would sell it for gardens, and the money is hegdish. So we don't want hegdish to lose money, so we levied a rabbinic mi'ila. But it's not biblical mi'ila, because it never was to begin with.
Right.
However, this is very interesting. What if, let's say, there was a cow that was a bull that's a little bit sick? And, of course, they want to use the most modern medical technology, so they use leeches to leech the animals. Not just people, they leeched animals. So now you took an animal, this is going to be my korban chatas, but they're a little sick under the weather, so they want to make it real healthy. So they put some leeches on it. And now the leeches suck out blood.
Uh-oh.
And now, what if you want to benefit from the blood that's been leeched out?
It wasn't the first thing on my mind.
Aval hamekis, you're a vampire, okay? Aval hamekis dam lo behemis kachim, but those who bloodlet from an animal that is kachim, hareyu osur bano, you're not allowed to benefit from it, and umal in ba, and your mal, because it's no different than the animal itself. This is not when you shech the animal and the animal is dead and blood's gushing out of it, because that's not really part of the animal.
Alive.
The animal's alive. This blood is part of the vibrant animal. No different if you chopped a piece of meat right off that living cow and just eat it. You'd be mal. Right. So it's no different if the blood has been let out of it.
Well, it's alive.
Well, it's alive.
What happens if it dies?
Well, I guess any time before the Zrika Saddam.
Okay. So we're talking about the blood that's in the leeches.
Yes, that came from the animal. Since the animal can't live without blood, it's like a part of its body. And just like you would partake of any part of the body, you would transgress mila. You'll transgress mila by taking the blood from the leech from that.
So you can't separate the leech from the cow, probably.
Well, you can, but you can't
separate it. It's blood that came from the cow.
No, but then you've got to keep the leech with the cow, basically. Otherwise, you're saying it's
made. No, you take...
How are we going to use this blood?
You could take the leech and throw it away.
You could take the leech, but then you're throwing the blood away.
So? What's wrong with that?
You're not using the blood.
You can't, just can't benefit from it.
You can't benefit from it. You're not going to shech the cow with leeches on it. Gonna have to remove the leeches sooner or later.
But you can't take a leech and use it, cook it, do whatever.
You can't make leech pudding.
No.
Sorry. Okay. Now we're gonna have bones, sinews, and other of these things.
Don't get hungry.
Okay, this all looks a little bit tricky here.
It's good for tomorrow.
We'll just try to get through it. Paatsamos, bones, vahagidim, and sinews, vakarnayim, and horns, vatlofayim, and hoofs. Now, shepershu mikotche kadoshim. If they separated from an animal that's kutche kadoshim. Now, when was it separated? It makes a difference before or after the Zrika Saddam. So if they were separated, lifnei Zrika Saddam, before the blood's been separated, and now you got these things over here. So mo'al and behem, if you will benefit from them at that point, you're mo'al, because it needs the Zrika Saddam to permit it. After the Zrika Saddam, because these things are not really going to be burnt. Once they've been separated, if it stays on the animal and we're burning it, we'll burn it with that too. But if it's been separated for whatever reason before this Zrika Saddam, it's not going to be burnt. So now what's going to make the permitting for it will be the Zrika Saddam and the animal in general, so you'll be mal. Per shula achas Zrika Saddam, but what if they were separated after the Zrika Saddam, but they're not going to be burnt on the Mizbeach? Well, at that point, ein ma'an bohem, you're not going to be moil at all, because even though they're not going to be eaten either,
right?
If it was, because certain kachim could be eaten, but they can't be eaten because they were separated already afterwards, but there's no me'il on them. That's, I think, what the Rama means in general in kachim kadashim, where there's still something that can be eaten. But now when we move to Asmas Ha'ola, now the bones of an Ola, which is completely burnt, and if they're Shaper Shalfnei Zrika, if they were separated before the sprinkling, then again, same rule, Ein Mo'al Ben Lachas Zrika. After the Zrika, you won't be Mo'al, Shazrika Matersum, because the Zrika does permit it. But the Impershu Achar Zrika, what if they separated after the Zrika? And now you've got major problems with this item over here, because usually the Zrika will allow it to be burnt, but now that they've been separated, you're not going to be able to burn it like everything else, so you got a big problem with that. Mo'alam bohem lo'olam, you always will be moil with them, because they have no way of being fixed up. Okay, finally, how about you put the ola, and you're putting the bones on the fire? But now, you know, sometimes the fire crackles and the meat pops right off the fire. Remember we said, when do you finish the meila for these items that are burnt?
They got to take them to the
base. Ashes outside Yerushalayim. Okay, Asma sa'oila shepokam al yisbeach koinam chasalai. What about the bones that you've now put on the fire? They're burning on the fire, but then they pop off completely off of the fire before chatzos. And now you figure, I have a real good piece of barbecue. Burnt already.
No,
not totally. Mo'al abahen, you will be mo'al. Clearly not. Now, it's a whole discussion. The Rambam really, The actual Gemara doesn't talk about the bones, but rather talks about the body parts. And they question why the Rambam mentions the bones, so some change the Girsay body parts that were burnt. Be that way. But anyway, interesting though, but if they pop off la'achar chatzos, but if they were sitting all the, but of course they pop off. Hey, Muhammad, a very strange rule. Why? Even if they popped off before chatzos, but now it's after chatzos, even shechia chatzos halayla, since chatzos has come, nasu kolevarim kamishinis achlu v'nasu afer.
Wow.
It's like all the body parts have been totally consumed and have been made into ashes.
So it's still a total batlus, a total negation.
Which is very, very big chiddush. I don't understand it.
But don't we have to take him to the base of
Deshen? Because we have to take him to the base of Deshen
afterwards. And burn it. And is it not?
So I guess the fact that they popped off,
okay,
I don't know why, but they consider like they're totally consumed. Okay, I don't understand the reason for that, but that's all I got.
Wow.
Okay, Yud Gimel, what about coals? Okay, what about coals? Can you be moel on coals? Okay, you need coals to burn everything up. So, gachela shepakam el mizbech. What if a coal pops off in the mizbech? Bein lifnei chatzos, bein la'achatzos, before or after chatzos. The rule is, lo nehem, you're not allowed to benefit from it. But velo moelim, you're not moel. And a very simple reason. Even though technically the coals belong to the Beis HaMikdash, till they become completely
burnt out.
But if we would say be moel, what would happen? People would not want to tend to the fire.
Yeah,
I ain't touching those coals. Oh. If I, you know, warm myself up,
maybe I'll benefit a little.
I don't want nothing to do with Jerusalem. Those coals. I don't want to sin. So even though technically you could theoretically be moel, you could be benefiting from the coals. But you know what? The rabbi said there's going to be no me'ilah on coals for that reason. Don't benefit, but you won't be mal. Aval, but wait a minute. Gachela shall cut you better kabayis. Coals better best. That you don't, it's not part of the korbanic process. So people aren't afraid there. Mo'alimbo. So you could, let's say, you know, cold coals that were donated to the base of things, you could be mal with them. What about a flame? That's very intriguing. Vashalhevis, a flame. Lonahem, you shouldn't benefit, Veloma, but you can't be. Let's say a flame is coming out and you're warming
but
your hands.
But there's nothing to it, really.
That's,
no
the,
essence,
that's
right?
The reason.
No essence,
since it lacks substance, you can't be moil. You shouldn't benefit from it, but it lacks substance. Okay, let's quickly, we can finish here. Yudalad, what about the deshen amizbech echitzon? What about the ash that's placed as a deshen on top of the mizbech? Right? Bein kodem aras adeshen, before we do any of the daily truma sadeshen, bein la'acharam arim afterwards, mo'al and bo your mo'al, until what? Until they're all taken to the outside dump, outside Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the stuff, the other stuff, tesva of dishon ha-mizbech meim, what do you clean out the inner mizbech, and that's put to the side of the outer mizbech. Dishon ha-menorah, the things that you clean out for the menorah, and that's also put to the side of the mizbech. And for them, there's different psukim that teach us, for them, their process is done at that point.
So
you don't have to wait to take it out.
Shouldn't
benefit. You shouldn't benefit. Ma'am, you're not going to be moil. They derive it from certain psukim for that. One more, and we're finished with the parak. Tezayin. Kol behemes kutche kadoshim shehi balas mum. Now, let's talk about an animal that is kutche kadoshim, meaning se'ola, chatas, or noshim, and it has a blemish. Now, when to get the blemish, doesn't matter. Bein shekada mum kavua lahekdesh. It doesn't matter if it had the blemish before you sanctified it. Bein shekada mekdesh lo mum kavua. Or whether you sanctified it and then afterwards it got a permanent blemish. Vafilo ha'isa mechusar zman. Or let's say it's a different problem. It's not time to bring it. Let's say it's not 8 days old.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you slaughtered the mother on its day and you can't slaughter the kid that
That's
day.
Right.
Either way, we're talking about it's not fit for a korban. Either because of it's a mum or because it's not the day for it. So now, what if you use it then? Mo'al and Bahem, you're going to be mo'al for it. Even though it can't be brought as a korban, it still belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Mishahurtashu, from the time you sanctify right. that animal, you're mo'al until when? Achipa, until you redeem it. You can redeem animals that have a blemish on it. That's okay. Now remember we talked about those turtle doves and those pigeons, where there's some that if it's too young, a certain color, too young it's not good, but if it gets older it's okay.
Yeah,
the other ones, only young it's a korban, and too old it's not okay. So what about these kinds of birds? Aval tarin shalohi giyizman, a term that a little bit too young, that's the big chiddush over here. Ubenei yonish arizman, or the turtle doves that are already too old, Vehem kachim mizbech, and the person, and they're supposed to be brought as a korban the mizbech. Now it's interesting. One of them's already past its prime. The other one could still be used, but it's too early to be used. But it right. And by the way, these when it's past its prime, it cannot be brought as a korban, and also cannot be redeemed. Different than other animals.
Whoa, it's done.
So now, afal pisha usser lahenas, they now have benefits. Hanehena lomol, but if you benefit from it, you will not transgress me'ila over here. Hoil ve'en rilpin, since you can't redeem them, we give them a whole different status. That's a big chiddush.
If the young one can't be redeemed either?
No, that's the chiddush. It could. It can't be redeemed now, but can be brought later. That's the big chiddush of Rambam, the young one, because we consider them. Because here's the point. They can't be redeemed. The liver of the base mesh has no residual benefit. Mm. Like an animal that's kutchen and has a blemish, you can redeem it, and we've got a residual benefit
this
already.
This pigeon has no
but
residual.
But these has no residual benefit. So what are you really being moiled?
Nothing.
There's nothing the base mesh could have been. You can't
it has
bring
no
it.
Launch.
If it,
it
be brought
no
as a korban, you're moiled. If it be burnt, you're moiled. If it be redeemed, you're mild.
Nothing.
But if there's nothing you can do with it,
nothing.
So what's it like? Harein kachatas amesh, just like a chatas, let's say you brought, the owner died. And what do you do with the chatas now?
Get
finished.
Of it.
It's finished. There's no me'ila. The time factor alone says there's no me'ila. You shouldn't benefit because it was hektish, but you will not be mild. Okay. Shgayach.
We were talking earlier, what's it going to do at midnight? What happened?